So this morning, as we look at familiar Christmas carols and the scriptures that inspired them, we are looking today at Go Tell It on the Mountain. This carol is an African-American spiritual, a genre of songs originating in the U.S., created through oral tradition that primarily was used to impart Christian values while also describing the hardships of slavery. Go Tell It on the Mountain has an unknown author and an unknown date of origin. All we know is that it was written before 1865. It was first published in a compilation by John Wesley Work Jr. in 1907 for the Jubilee Singers of Fisk University. It's a song of implied suffering, the human condition, and finding relief in the presence of Christ. It was written among people, for people that were largely invisible by society, devalued by society. But it was pointing to a place, a time, when their true worth would be celebrated by God Himself. It references the shepherds, those that were marginalized and minimized in the culture of their day. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2. And this morning, as we celebrate the gift of joy, may we find in this familiar passage joyous relief for all that minimizes and marginalizes us this morning. The shepherd's story, beginning with verse 8, commences with where they were. Certainly it focuses on where they were logistically. They were out in their fields, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. They were in darkness and isolation. They were living with their animals. They were keeping the night watch in the hillside of Bethlehem. Now, they were living with their animals for a couple of reasons, partly due to necessity. They wanted to protect their animals, their sheep, their charge from predators. But it was also partly due to society. Shepherds in that day were essential but invisible. And I was talking to my family yesterday, and oftentimes I have thought about the shepherds as sanitation workers, garbage men and women. People who provide a service that is necessary, but no one wants to do it, and no one really wants to talk to the people who are doing it. And I thought actually that that might not be the best illustration for the day, although it might be a good one. We were discussing maybe it's customer service. Maybe it's waiters and waitresses. Maybe it's the service industry. People who are at the post office or FedEx or UPS that are doing the best they can, and people are just angry, bitter, mean. They don't care about the person that is doing the work. They only care that the work is being done. That's the life of a shepherd. They were earthy. They lived with their animals. They smelled like their animals. And these shepherds, living in darkness, living in isolation, living in invisible lives, they were just doing what they were doing every day. This evening was nothing special. Then it became special. Because part of where they were is not just logistic, it's also emotional. The story begins with where they were in their heads, in their spirit. They were filled with fear. An angel of the Lord shone around them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Luke literally writes, they were afraid with great fear. They were afraid with great fear. Now we have to recognize that Luke was not there. Luke was not one of the shepherds. Luke was a disciple, a follower of Christ, a doctor of those days. He was not a shepherd. And the only way we know that the shepherds had this story is because they shared it, and they shared that they were filled with great fear. And they had good reason to have great fear. They would have been terrified by the presence of God. No one sees God. No one is able to take a look at the Almighty or the messengers of the Almighty in all their glory and live. And they would have been terrified in knowing that their humanity was exposed as they lived in darkness and isolation. Suddenly a brilliant light exposes everything that they are. Their frailty in the light of God's omnipotence. Their filth in the light of God's omniscience. Their failure in the light of God's perfection. How many people do we know that are just like these shepherds? Tough as nails on the outside, but trembling with fear on the inside. Many of us, even maybe those among us, think that we can handle whatever may come. Many around us, maybe even many among us, think that things don't really change. But then, God's great message, God's great presence breaks through the darkness and changes our lives. See, the shepherd's story commences with where they were, but it continues with what they witnessed. They heard this message from the angel. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Do you remember what I said that Luke wrote? That the shepherds were frightened with great fear. Well, Luke now writes that the shepherd says, I bring good news with great joy. I am here to replace your great fear with great joy. And what is that great joy? It's a good news for all the people, including you. And it's news for today, which also includes you. It's news that will bring glory to God. It's news that will bring peace to people on earth. And it is joy that is for the shepherds and for the people that are like the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. When we read that, we can think of ourselves as the shepherds, and we can say to ourselves, yep, that makes sense. This is good news for everybody. Maybe not for me particularly, but good news for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Well, maybe. We recognize that the King is coming from Bethlehem. The Anointed One is coming from Bethlehem. Maybe in one of those fancy mansions that they have in Bethlehem. Maybe in one of those big houses. Maybe a person of respectability. Probably not really for me, but I can share in it vicariously. That's great. Thank you. And if it were all that the shepherd said, all that the angel said, Christmas would not be all that it is. But then, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This Savior will not be found among the elite. Christ the Lord will be with the animals, just like you. We are going to place the child exactly where you can get to him. It's not in a palace, not in a fancy place, not where you would need to take a shower or a bath beforehand. He's going to be in a manger. And so they hurry off to see if this report is accurate. And it is exactly as the angel told them. They find the Savior in a feeding trough, in a place where they are. If it were a mechanic that the angel had gone to, you'll find the baby in the garage. If it were a customer service representative, you're going to find the baby in the back room. If it were a postal worker, you're going to find a baby, I don't know, in a mailbox. It wasn't as if they needed to do something, go somewhere that they were going to be unfamiliar with or afraid to go. This is great joy. You will find a baby where you can find a baby. And it will be odd, but that'll be the sign that this child is for you as well as for everybody else. Have you experienced this good news of great joy? Have you seen that the child has come to you? Not to us, not to people in general, but to you. right where you are. I guess if you have, what are you going to do about it? And that's the third point. The shepherd's story conclude with how they went. It commences with where they were. It continues with what they witnessed. And it concludes with how they went. Verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So they spread the word concerning the child. They tell others what was told to them. And all who heard it were amazed. Maybe they were amazed at the message. A Savior has been born? That's incredible. We have been waiting. God has been silent for 400 years, and now is the day, and we are here. This is amazing. Maybe it was the means. In a stable in Bethlehem, really? That sounds too amazing, too far-fetched. But if it's true, that would be something. Maybe it was the messengers, that these nobodies are newscasters. I can't believe these shepherds, the audacity of them, that they come up to me, a high-bred, fine person who is here just for the census, and they're telling me that the Savior has been born. How do they know where the Savior is? Well, they say an angel told them. How do they know it was an angel? Well, they were told that that would be the sign that a baby would be born in a manger. I don't know. Maybe. It sounds incredulous. Why ever, however other people responded, the shepherds reported exactly what they had seen and heard. And then they returned to the fields, glorifying and praising God. Their situation societally had not changed. They don't become evangelists. They don't become disciples. They don't become priests and prophets. They remain shepherds. And for some of us, knowing Christ has not changed our situation societally, but it has changed our hearts internally, our standing spiritually is transformed. They praise God that He revealed Himself to them. Praise God, He has come to us, the shepherds say. They give glory to God. The Messiah has come to save us all. We're expected to do what the shepherds did. To go back to our lives, transformed by the truth of Christ's appearing, declaring the glory and peace of God to those around us. Our sermon in a sentence is this: tell the story of fear expelled and joy expressed to all you encounter. Go, tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I am sure that it is not hard for any of us to imagine being suppressed by an evil system of human sinfulness, awaiting the promised Messiah. As Psalm 121 begins, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Christmas reminds us, the shepherds remind us, that our salvation is just beyond the ridgeline. But that redemption in Christ has come. When those who first sang, "Go tell it on the mountain," they were oppressed, they were minimized, they were marginalized, they were dehumanized, but they knew that Christ had come for them. And there was going to be a day when Christ would come to them and be with them. Go tell it everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. Tell the story of fear expelled and joy expressed to all you encounter. Shall we pray?